And welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We just had that exciting conversation about hunger and food stamps, the SNAP program. We can use SNAP benefits to buy things like seeds for growing your own veggies, turning your backyard into a space to harvest the goodness of the earth. It's really not as hard as you might think. You might think you've got a black thumb, but it doesn't take a whole lot of energy and know-how to turn that black thumb into a green thumb. And on this Saturday, there's a great opportunity to learn from the experts at the Festival of Flowers Gardening Show. We're going to talk about that. But we do have gardening experts in the studio this half hour, and we'll take your calls, 614-8980. David Rodriguez, the David Rodriguez, as we should point out, from the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, and Ann Schiller, coordinator for the Gardening Volunteers of South Texas, are here. We will take your gardening questions, particularly interested about hearing about if you got questions about growing food, especially in the heat and the drought that we have now. 614-8980. Also, questions and comments can be emailed us to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. And welcome David and Ann to The Source.
Yes, how are you doing Thank this you. Afternoon?
I'm doing great. So let's talk about, you know, is it really that hard to garden and grow tomatoes and greens and things? I mean, is it, do you have to be a dedicated full-time hippie to do something like that?
Well, I always like to start out with the simple basics, and I call them the four P's of successful gardening. And the first one is plan. How large is your backyard or front yard or wherever, your patio, wherever you want to put your little vegetable garden, herb garden, ornamental garden, cut flower garden. So we have to make sure we have the appropriate sunlight. We know the dimensions. And regardless if it's a simple 4x8 raised bed or 2,000 square foot backyard garden, you can do quite a bit of produce for your family, but you need to plan it out. You need to know the seasons. The other is preparation. Most of us in and around Bexar County, unless you live near a creek area or a river area, most of us don't have the deepest and the best soil, so we can either do patio garden in containers, raised bed gardens, or bring in a desired garden mix and, you know, raise it up. You need at least 6 inches of halfway decent soil. And then purchasing high-quality plants, the third P, you might say. Extension, since the Sam Cotner years back in the mid-60s and with Dr. Parsons since 1974, we have really prided ourselves with doing research demonstrations, working with farmers, working with good gardeners in and around the area, and finding the best adapted vegetable varieties, either as transplants or seeds, because we want people to be successful. So the varieties and the time that you plant them is very crucial. And we have both the fall and spring vegetable list to use as guidelines. And then planting, you know, P number four. We tend to buy on impulse when we see beautiful plants or these vegetable transplants at the independent nursery or garden center. And, hey, look at that tomato or pepper or eggplant or whatever. But we don't follow the first three P's, and then we wonder why our vegetables aren't producing in the shade. We're not setting up a good drip system. We're not amending the soil with organic material like compost. And we're not setting it up on a good nutritional program. And we're trying to grow vegetables, not weeds. So that's a little bit maintenance, Dave, to maintain it. So if we follow those four basic steps of the four P's of successful gardening, it's a good way to get the kids involved, all the family involved, to get the exercise. And we often see when kids grow their own vegetables, particularly in a family setting, I grew that broccoli, I grew that cabbage. And you know what? That's the most tastiest vegetable out there because I did it. And it's a good way to get the kids from the garden to the kitchen. And most importantly, sit the family down and really enjoy a real nice meal. We can all agree that all of us do need to increase our fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. So what better way to get the family experience involved out there in the backyard?
David, thank you for all that. I'm going to ask you about some of those points in a little more detail in just a second. Ann Schiller, you're with the Gardening Volunteers of South Texas. What do y'all do, Gardening Volunteers of South Texas?
Well, we are focused on water-saver landscapes. We present classes on water-saver landscape design, on water-saver plants, on reducing your turf, attractive ways to replace lawns, everything that will conserve water, and which in the long run results in a good consumer practice of reducing your water bill. But beyond that, I always describe it this way. In San Antonio, we're kind of on the cusp of Southern Living Magazine gardening, where if you go a little bit east, you're into East Texas, where it's one very definite type of landscape style. And in a few years ago in San Antonio, we could all enjoy those lush lawns and those beautiful flower beds. But now, in the last 5 or 10 years, not so much so. So we're kind of going in that other direction of Sunset Magazine, where you're looking for xeriscape lawns, xeriscape yards that are attractive, they're dramatic, and yet they're doing away with the turf grass and all of the plants that use a lot of water that just frankly aren't adapted for San Antonio.
So speaking of trying to save water with gardening, and this weekend the SAWS water-saving coupon program kicks off.
Right. And as a matter of fact, they're rolling it out at an event called the Festival of Flowers, which the Master Gardeners and Gardening Volunteers of South Texas are both heavily involved in. We're kind of one of those two core groups that are involved in the Festival of Flowers. And the San Antonio Water System, which co-hosts the show, they are going to be rolling out their new program for $100 coupon. Well, I hate to call it a rebate program, because you have to make a pledge to where you will reduce your turf, you will get coupons to use at local nurseries. They will offer design ideas for both sun and shade, plant list, and it'll all be available this coming Saturday at the Festival of Flowers. And if you can't make it to the Festival of Flowers, well, then you can wait until January 1st when they'll have it at saws.org, which is the San Antonio Water System website.
And this is the idea is to create gardens that will replace about 200 square feet of lawn grass.
Correct.
And this will save gallons and gallons of water.
Right.
It'll also add a lot more variety to your
yard. And your landscape will look like 2013. So,
right.
which is kind of nice. It's a nice change.
And these are plants that attract bees and hummingbirds.
And butterflies, exactly.
So it's not just the dull, same old St. Augustine dull.
We always say, well, it's not all St. Augustine. And we always say, too, that a xeriscape landscape that rocks doesn't have to be all rocks.
Sure, it could be a mixture of all that.
You'd be surprised.
So SAWS is providing these coupons, and you can go to a local gardening, a nursery.
There's 4 nurseries involved.
And they have a selection of these plants that are specifically designed to help deal with this, and then you can spruce up your garden and save water at the same time.
Right.
Okay, so we got to take a commercial, not a commercial break. I'm so used to hearing you guys on the other programs. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. We're going to take your calls. If you got a question about gardening, please give us a call, 614-8980. Doesn't have to be about growing food and veggies, but I'm particularly interested in hearing about that. And anything else, give us a call, 614-8980. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Our guest this half hour, David Rodriguez from the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service and Schiller Coordinator for the Gardening Volunteers of South Texas. We're talking about gardening here in South Texas, particularly about food gardening to try and help put healthy, safe, tasty food that will excite your kids to eat healthy and save money on your kitchen table. We do have some calls, so let's go straight to that. John's been waiting patiently. John, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks. This is the first year that I'm trying to do a vegetable garden here in South Texas. I've got an area about 400 square feet. I've already put in peppers, tomatoes, squashes, those kinds of things, and I plan to do seeds here this weekend. My concern is, how do I make sure that all of my plants don't wilt and die in the kind of heat we have down here?
Yeah, that's a real good question, John, and especially when we're already seeing 90-plus degree temperatures the last few days. It's a timing thing. We know that December and January are traditionally the two coldest months of the year, but we've had two very mild winters. And then we know that the oven usually starts turning on typically around June 15th, and it goes for at least to about mid-September. So June, July, and August, it's super-duper hot out there, not only daytime temperatures, but also nighttime temperatures. This past Saturday, we had the spring Children's Vegetable Garden program at the beautiful San Antonio Botanical Garden at Extension, and our Master Gardener volunteers oversee, and they're on week 14 of week 16. So they start putting their predominantly spring planting in starting about mid-February, and they start out the spring with cool weather vegetables, be it transplants of green magic broccoli, Cheers head cabbage, any of the cool weather vegetables. And then when it starts warming up going into mid-March, early April, then they start transitioning like you just described with warm weather crops, be it their peppers, their tomatoes, squash, green beans, and things like that. So we try to set it up almost like a calendar of events because, you know, right around June 15th, the challenge of day and nighttime temperatures are extreme. You don't want to be out there, so it's hard for those vegetables to really produce quite a bit in July and August. Now, peppers, particularly the warm, hot-type peppers, will slow down, but will come back up in the early fall season. But the key is to making sure that they stay nice and healthy through July and August. So we do like the farmers do. We have two definite planting seasons, the spring planting season and the fall planting season, which starts at the hottest month of the year in August, but we're starting out opposite of spring with warm weather crops, and then we're transitioning to cool weather crops because if you've lived here long enough, we've had cold spells as early as Halloween, but traditionally mid-November. So varieties and timing is the key. Drip irrigation is kind of putting your plants on an IV. You're putting that water most efficiently, and you're saving money as well as water right where that root zone of that plant can most efficiently use the moisture. You're cutting back on weeds, you're being efficient on the watering, and you're growing very healthy plants. The July and August, carrying over peppers from spring to fall, if you grow okra, if you grow black-eyed peas or southern peas, or if you carry your sweet potatoes over, those would be the exception. But most of the spring crops typically end from mid-June to early July, and then we start all over again in August.
All right, David, thank you for that. And so, John, hope that helps you out. We got a lot of calls. We're going to try and get them in as fast as we can. But one point I want to make out is that, you know, San Antonio is on a completely different calendar for growing things than the people who program what's going to happen at your big box nursery.
Oh, yes, sir.
You know, so if you're going to go by what they're putting out at the big box.
Yes, that could be challenging at times.
They're planning how things are growing in some place which is a lot more cooler than we are.
If you take advantage of our Bexar County Extension website, the horticulture page, we also have Aggie Horticulture, and we also have plantanswers.com. Those three websites have a lot of great information, and they also have both the fall and spring list of what should be planted when, seed versus transplant. But a tomato's not a tomato all the time, or a green bean. You know, we look at proven varieties that have tested with farmers as well as backyard gardeners.
Okay, so let me try and get Angie on the line. She wants to talk about xeriscaping. Angie, you're on the source.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had questions. I have a couple of dogs, and I'm looking into xeriscaping my yard, and I've been having trouble finding a solution to still keeping the backyard a cool place for my dogs to hang out.
Well, I think that you know, xeriscaping doesn't mean doing away with your lawn or grass or turf entirely. And you always have to take into account things like children and pets. And I think it's you have to choose the, you know, you can always have a space for your children and your pets, but you have to, just like David was talking about choosing the right vegetable varieties, you need to choose the right turf variety that will withstand our heat and not use so much water. And David, I'm going to hand it over to you for some ideas on some of the current grasses that are available.
Well, St. Augustine always gets a bad name because people think it's a wasteful turf grass, but research with A&M and Extension and even San Antonio Water Systems. Remember, the turf grass doesn't waste the water. It's us,
the
people.
Waterers.
Yeah, the people that
turn
apply
on the sprinkler
water.
And right. Go on exactly. To watch TV.
Yeah, exactly.
St. Augustine
exactly.
Takes less than people realize, yeah,
exactly.
I think.
So Floritam, St. Augustine's a wonderful selection. El Toro Zosia, it was semi-coarse. It's a proven a selection. And then the Celebration Bermuda, Common Bermuda. But Bermuda and Zosia, you really need a full sun. Well, they all need a lot of sun. But even sports fields have time, like after a baseball game or soccer game, has time to recover after a game. So we know even the kiddos and the little doggies or even big dogs out there going up and down and compacting the soil could be some wear and tear on the turf grass. So if you can consider core aerating it, from mid-September to May 1st, applying about a half an inch of a very high-grade finely screened compost will also help on that. So Ann's right. Don't eliminate completely the turf grass. It does have its place. Or put a nice mulch area out there and then look at well-adapted plant species, be it native or well-adapted.
Right, but it sounds like we're talking, I mean, one minute we're saying put in a xeriscape, and then we got these saws coupons. Next thing we're saying, St. Augustine is A-okay. But you can have both.
Yes, the limited amounts. The modern-day landscape is, a lot of people say 50% landscape and then 50% turf grass, but a lot of us are even going to the point one-third at the most turf grass, one-third plant material, one-third hardscape or surfaces that will let the water filter in when it does rain. You know, David and I love vegetable gardens, so I would rather have more vegetable gardens and cut flowers and herbs than turf grass.
I still have flowers growing, too. My wife loves them. All right, let's go to the Ben. He's been waiting for us. Ben, welcome to The Source.
Oh, thanks very much. I just wanted to praise this new A&M tomato call. Tigris,
T-Y-G-R-E-S-S.
I just picked one that is about the size of a grapefruit. And,
oh, good.
They're very, very resistant. They're also very meaty. They're not, and their shelf life is phenomenal.
Good.
So,
have you tried Tycoon?
Have not, and I'm looking for any other heirlooms because I've tried the purples and the black crems, but sometimes they don't survive this heat.
Yeah, that's why these modern-day selections have not only heat resistance, but a real good balanced disease package. Tycoon's another one we really want you to look at. David, the one he was talking about is every year we release a new rodeo tomato, and Tigris is this year's rodeo tomato. Also, if you like cherry tomatoes, and that's good for the grandkids or kids, there's one called BHN968, which is also referred to as dwarf cherry surprise, and that's also been designated this year as a 2013 Texas Superstar, and that's an awesome cherry-type tomato.
All right, so when people go to this event, that this is this weekend, this Festival of Flowers, what can they expect to see? You know, there's a $6 admission charge, so, you know, what am I going to get for my $6?
Well, you're going to get a lot because it really is. It's kind of, it's an educational event. This is the 16th year. And this year, I have to admit, David, we don't have any vegetable gardening on display. But
a lot of people have questions and we answer them.
Right, yeah, exactly. Definitely. We have an Axie Expert booth. You're going to be there for a while. And actually, I always say there's an expert in every booth
because
you have different commercial vendors, but you have nonprofit vendors. But they will, I always say that no matter what kind of a gardener you are, you can go there and you can be entertained and educated. You can take part, you can bring in plants from your backyard for the Plant Exchange, which is one of the largest in Texas. You can enter your own vegetables or your own prized plants. There's lots of different ways, divisions and categories that you can enter in the Alamo Area Horticulture Show. You can attend seminars on, we have, this year we have roses. We've got drip irrigation, lots of things.
All right. So
and we also have the organic roundtable at 2 o'clock, which is a huge draw.
That'll be great because we love organic gardening. One question that came in through the email wants to know if some veggies will suck up the lead if there's like, you know.
No, that's a good question. And we hear that about older areas of town that might have had industry in the past or old beds that might have heavy metals.
So it does not happen?
No. And if it does happen, the plant will die before any vegetables get into production.
Okay. All right. Well, we're out of time here. Great conversation. We got to do this more often. David Rodriguez, you're a great expert. Ann Schiller from the Gardening Volunteers of South Texas. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in.
The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.